So welcome along to A Story to Tell with me, Richard Bovis. This is mainly taken from my radio bar show every Thursday morning from 10 until 12. If you do like it, don't forget to subscribe, share it to others, and let everyone know all about Radio Bath. Hope you enjoy it. I'll be honest, I've never heard that track. That's Lover's Leap by Elbow. Really interesting band. So I have via Zoom coming in very, very last minute, messaged her about 9 o'clock saying, don't suppose you could. And here she is. Sorrel, good morning.
Hello, Richard.
There you are. You are there live via Zoom. So how are you this morning?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good, good. Now, you were my very first live lounge. I now do one live lounge a month, and you were the one that broke the ice for me. And it was a very strange experience for all encompassing because I joined in.
Yeah.
And that was very bizarre.
And we were very great. I thought we did very well, actually.
Oh, I thought we were right.
It was a live performance on radio. I listened to it quite a little while ago, and we were our timing was pretty good.
I haven't listened back to it for a little bit, actually. I must have a little listen back at some point. But I really enjoyed the experience. It was very bizarre for me because I had the scenario that I was like, and here live on Radio Bath is Sorrel Pitts. Pick up my guitar, play, put the guitar down, and there's Sorrel Pitts. And I'm not sure how many radio hosts will have done that, joined in live with their guests.
Yeah.
But you did very well on that day, and you were my first. You were my first.
It was quite stressful for me at the time. I remember because my voice was awful because of COVID. It kept breaking, and it just about held up the show. But it wasn't, my voice wasn't able to do it that day, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a difficult one. I'm going to get you to try and bring the microphone slightly closer to your mouth. It is cutting out ever so slightly. Thank you.
How's that? Cool.
Now we're going to talk about the fact that you've also released a book, and you're also a musician. And there's those two things. How do they kind of go hand in hand for yourself then?
Well, for a long time they didn't. So I was writing when I was a child. I always wanted to be a writer. It was my dream to be a writer. My father was a novelist as well, a journalist and TV producer. So that was really in my veins. But I also was quite musical, and for most of my teens I did both. And then I decided to quit the music, really, because I felt I was spreading myself too thin. And that what I should be doing is just focusing on one thing. So for the rest of a lot of my life, my focus has been on writing. And so I've written three novels, two of which have been published. The second one I didn't try to get published. I decided it wasn't good enough.
Okay.
I might revisit that decision, but we'll see. And then after all of that, I think I might have explained to you on the radio show, I can't remember, I met somebody, a musician, and they listened to some of my old tapes from when I was a teenager and just said, look, you know, these are really good and you've got to get back into it. And at that point, I picked up the guitar again. Gave up the writing.
Oh, wow, okay.
not consciously, I just was fed up with the whole publication process and the struggle to get recognised. And then suddenly got a publisher for the novel. So I was way back into the music, had forgotten about the writing, bar just submitting the book every so often. And then suddenly, out of the blue, I got three offers actually in 1 week for publishing. It was just bizarre after a whole year of trying to find.
So
and that was after a literary agent also had hold of it for a long time. So it was a long, long process. Anyway, it's out now. So
it is out. What's the name of the book, very quickly? We'll talk about it more later. But
it's called Broken Shadows.
Broken Shadows.
In Wiltshire.
Set in Wiltshire, as we've got to say it.
Close enough.
And also, going back to the music very quickly, you got me to do something which scared the living daylights out of me as well. And that is, so I've also written a number of tracks, and you got me to send you my tracks, which, I'll be honest, I've done many, many things in my life, but that's one of the scariest things I've ever had to do. If I'm
really?
Honest with you.
Me
yeah.
listening to your music?
Yeah.
You try putting a book out there.
Well, I suppose you have that scenario of then going, what do people think? And they're, I mean, I'm used to being on stage, and when you're on stage, people have opinions of you. So that bit doesn't bother me too much. But I suppose I was just felt very vulnerable because it isn't something which I publish massively, that I also do music, and, you know, the recordings of them was quite average, and I'm quite average regarding playing the guitar and singing. I don't have any other grandeurs about that. So yeah, to kind of published that I'd done these things was quite strange for me.
I thought you had lots of potential, actually, Richard, and I think I said at the time when I heard the songs that they were, I thought they were very good.
That wasn't me fishing, by the way.
And your voice particularly is very good. I thought you sounded like Paul Weber.
Ah, I'll take that to the grave. I really will. So, yeah. Talking about the music, though, you've also been in a bit of collaboration with Vince Bell, who we've had on as a Live Lounge as well.
Yes. Vince is a very good friend of mine. So Vince has been wonderful, and he read the book before it was published and really, really loved it. And he just decided to write a song about it, which is called Shadowing Stones, which is about a henge of stones that are sort of central to the moon, which is a real place called the Devil's Den, which is set in Wiltshire, nearby where I am now on the Morbid Down. So yes, he's written this absolutely beautiful, haunting song. So what we're going to do is create a video to go with it, and then use it to promote Vince's talent, but also to promote the book. We haven't got further than that at the moment. Vince is still finishing off the song, but that's our long-term plan.
We will look forward to it. We're going to come back for another link shortly, but first of all, we're going to play one of your tracks that we played on the show. Okay, so it's not one that you played live, though, is it?
No, this is one I've recorded recently. It's my latest one, actually. I Can't Get Enough of This Feeling.
Okay, so here live on Radio Bath is Sorrel Pits and I Can't Get Enough of This Feeling. There's Ways Blood and Andromeda. There's a request coming in from Will there. So we're going to be back with Sorrel now. Let me just do a couple of things. There's nothing like technology, is there? Sorrel, talk to me.
Hello.
There we go. We sorted your microphone out now as well, because it was cutting out a little bit in the first link. But hopefully we'll be able to hear you a little bit better now. So we're going to talk now about the fact that you've written a book. So you've come.
Yes, my second one.
Your second one. So yes. Tell us about your first one, first of all.
Well, the first one was called The River Woman, is called The River Woman, and it was published in 2011. And it got an accolade by Sir Michael Parkinson.
Oh,
very nice.
Who
wrote on the cover, a fascinating story told by a very promising writer.
Okay.
That was a good start to things.
And then it took you another 13 years to release another one.
It took me 8 years to write the second one. It took me 8 years to write the first one, actually. And then it took, because of said literary agent, it took a while to get it published. But I finally got there. So, yeah, this is the next one out.
So 8 years then. So what is your writing process? Because sometimes people kind of lock themselves into a room for a while and then never come out. And some people take 8 years.
So generally, the first draft, I do have to do that. So it takes me about 6 months to write the first draft. And I can't have any disturbances at all. I have to just completely focus on it. And then it's a case of editing. And for me, it's the editing that takes a great deal of time. And I, at that point, I also have to work and earn a living. So I do it around my day job, which is a professional writer and editor of educational materials. And then you get the necessary gaps. You have to stop for a while and you have to, you know, you give it out to people to read the drafts and then you take on feedback. So the whole process from beginning to end and needing those necessary breaks to have an objective view of what you've done are very necessary as a writer. You have to have at least 6 months away from it and then come back and read it afresh to see. And you have to have a very good, you know, inbuilt rubbish detector. It was a worse word. I'm quoting somebody that I might be Steinbeck. I can't remember. It's Hemingway.
I'm glad you chose an
inbuilt rubbish detector.
I'm glad you chose the rubbish word.
Yes. and I'm a perfectionist as well. So I tend to read things again, just think, oh, it could be better than that. And it's taken a long, long time in the home. So
you released a book.
But I'm very proud of it.
So you released a book in 2011 and then had a big gap and then 8 years later and now you've released another book. How did you feel when you were releasing it? What, you know, I mentioned earlier about I felt quite vulnerable when I sent my few little songs over to yourself. How did you feel releasing a book again into the big wide world?
This one much more so because I think because of social media and the way that things are read now is very different. So the first one was a traditional print media. It was a print run. It went out through the bookshops. And I can't really remember how I felt so much with that one, a bit anxious. But this one I was much more anxious because it's much more immediate now. People are reading it and they're telling me, you know, what they think. Or they're not. A lot of people haven't read it and then they look embarrassed and kind of scuttle past me, you know. And obviously it won't be for all people, so there are some people who probably won't like it and don't want to tell me.
No, I'll be honest, but I haven't read your book yet.
No,
I'm
don't
afraid.
Worry.
It's
quite a long book as well. So, and I think initially the publisher has positioned it as a crime novel. But it's much more than a crime novel. There's all sorts of themes in it about marriage and childlessness and rural communities and how they've changed and also exile. So the two main characters are both expats. They've moved away from the area and have had to come back for different reasons.
Okay.
So it's about your sense of place. Well, but that all revolves around the crime that's happened.
Well, I'm actually going on holiday in the not too distant future and I was looking for a book to read. I wonder which one I might choose.
Well, have a chat with, we both know Janice, who's just read it on holiday, and I know she's come back raving about it. So.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm going to read out one of the reviews that you've had on Amazon for you, okay? So if anybody wants to read Sorrel's book, what's the name of the book again?
Broken Shadows.
Broken Shadows, available on Amazon and all good websites.
And can I just say, it's getting more than 70% five-star reviews on Amazon.
Which is amazing. So, here we go. So, I felt completely immersed in the location of Wiltshire, almost longing for it, although I have lived there my entire life. Even those who have never visited will fall in love with the atmospheric landscape shown on the pages. It was a true page-turner. The mystery was unexpected and the ending touching. Although there is an underlying theme of murder and crime, there is an emphasis emphasis on family ties, roots, and even romance throughout, which I found really elevated the story and characters. These characters had real depth to them and felt raw and humane to me. The struggles they encounter with family and within themselves made me very relatable. Read this book in 4 days. I was so hooked and would recommend to all types of readers, a novel with many genres hiding within it. How do you feel when you read something like that?
I remember reading that one, and I was knocked out by that. It's a beautiful review, isn't it?
It's lovely. Yeah, it's a very honest review
And that reviewer has picked up on what the novel is much more than a crime novel. It's about human being and you know, the state of being human. It's particularly pertinent to people in their 40s and the kind of issues that people go through in their 40s.
Okay.
And a lot of people relate to it, I think.
Yeah, I am going to spend money and purchase that book, Sorrel. Even though I know you, and no doubt.
I will sign it for you, Richard.
Oh, you'll sign it. It'll be literally worth... You know, if I buy it for $8.99, it'd be at least worth £9 at that point.
It's $9.99, actually.
Oh, is it $9.99? Great.
It's on offer on Kindle at the moment. I think it's only 99p for a while.
Is it? Fantastic. Yeah. I will literally buy it for 99p, and you can sign my phone. How does that sound? So what's the future hold for you then regarding music and writing then?
Sorry.
What does the future hold for you regarding writing and also music?
I'll continue with both. I'm actually really looking forward to getting back to music. I'm totally all the time. I'm promoting the book at the moment on social media and all sorts of other ways. It's just completely all consuming. So I'll be quite glad to sort of get back to writing songs. I haven't written anything for the last 6 months because I've been so busy with this, but I am still playing and you know, holding my guitar skills and hopefully improving. So I don't expect to make a fortune out of either, but I love being creative and I'm happiest when I'm being creative, and it's great when people appreciate what I do, and particularly when they do things like throw themselves in front of my car, which somebody did the other day. Oh. She so badly wanted to talk about my book.
I did wonder where that was going then when you said she threw herself in front of your car. I'm like, wow, people are literally dying in front of you, but not quite to that degree. So you had a fan.
She came and banged on the window and said, I've got to talk about it.
Oh, amazing. And again, it's almost, it is fame, isn't it?
It's like miniature fame, but I don't do it for that reason. And one of the nice things about writing is it's quite anonymous. Well, it should be quite anonymous, although obviously, because the book is set locally, lots of people locally are reading.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to play a track by Vince. So he came in to do a live lounge, and this is his live version. I'll be honest, this was my favourite track of his, the Superman Pajamas.
Oh, yes, I loved that one.
I love that track. It's just... And what I loved about it was how he described what the backstory was to it. And then kind of you listen to the lyrics, and I thought it was a beautiful track. And again, you and Vince, when are we going to see the collaboration then of you and Vince for your book?
Well, who knows? I think we're going to record this song professionally, and Vince has talked about me singing with him on it. So perhaps we could come in and do it live sometime, Richard, once we've got it all polished up.
I would love to have you both back in, so we'll set a date for that sometime later this year.
It's a very beautiful song.
It is. You very kindly sent me over a kind of a clip of it, and I had listened to it on the way in, and it sounded fantastic. So yeah, I'd love to hear it live. That'd be both. And you'd both be performing on it then, would you?
Yes, I'm sure we'll come in and do that.
That would be brilliant. So we'll look out for that sometime later on this year. Sorrel, thank you so much for stepping in last minute to chat
about
some...
Thanks for having me. It's nice to talk to you.
No, it's lovely. And we're going to play Vince now and Superman Pajamas. We'll speak again very soon, Sorrel.
Okay, thanks, Richard. Bye.
I'm standing on the garage roof in my Spider-Man pajamas. Dad's filling up the bunker with another sack of coal. Mum's tapping on the window as she's gesturing me down, pointing at the sky as it now begins to snow. So I switch to jamming frequency to block all these distractions, calculate my trajectory for the perfect forward roll. I close my eyes and spread my arms for a second of pure weightlessness. Seconds become an hour as my imagination takes control. Climbing up the highest tower, master of my superpower, like a speeding bullet against a curvature of the earth, which comes racing up at me as I smash a perfect landing, softened by the forward roll, unharmed and never hurt. leaping to my feet. In a cry of victory, Mum calls me in and shakes her head and tells me I'm bananas. I don't really care, cause I'm shielded from the world out there and all its tribulations by my Spider-Man pajamas. There's bullies loitering in the field, they're simply looking bored. They're ignoring my brother and me, but we won't be disgraced. So we scream and shout profanities to get the bullies fuming. Running for our lives now with an escape plan in place. 200-yard head start, just 50 from the gate. With odds like that, the outcome's not disputed. Such simple quest for heroes might not seem very brave. Well, Spider-Man pajamas or not, I'm not that bloody stupid. Oh no, the garden gates just creak, the perimeter it has been breached. The bullies in the complex, there's no place for us to hide. So I fill my lungs with air and turn my shriek to supersonic. Like a flash of lightning, Mum is standing by my side. The bully's eyes are welling up, he's trying not to cry. He says, honest mate, I wasn't gonna harm ya. From behind Mum's legs I twist my ears, blow raspberries and pull faces. Another evil vanquished by my Spider-Man pajamas. Little boy is moving on, we don't stay little boys for long. The pyjamas, they are fading and they're getting pretty tight. They're squeezing all my bits in and becoming quite restrictive. So much so that I can no longer sleep in them at night. So it's time for one more mission as I sum up all my powers. Master of the universe, never holding back. I run and jump with all my might, but my trajectory's not right. And as I land like a sack of spuds, I felt something snap. Lying crying in a heap, my superhero day's complete. Dad picks me up and puts me in the car. And as he wraps my foot in ice, I begin to realise my spidey senses tell me now what heroes really are. And like me, do you reminisce the memories you were given and all the things once priceless soon to be discarded? We must never fear, cause somewhere in the streets near here there's another budding hero in his Spider-Man pyjamas.
This is Radio Bath.
I think she's turning into one of my favourite artists. That's Ray and Worth It. Just high quality, I think. Right, we're here until midday. It's Richard Beauvoisin. Finish off, Ray. Love it. If you have any music requests today, then do email in at studio@radiobath.com or you can text Bath followed by a message to 80011. We're pretty much happy to play anything, if I'm honest with you. So, do email in on those. Now I'm going to talk about a subject which has been irritating the living daylights out of my wife for about the last 2 weeks or so. Now, just need to set the scene very, very quickly. Last month, I'm a dance teacher normally, and last month we went along to a dance weekender where you dance all weekend in a particular place, and we did something called welly wanging. Okay, now for those that don't know what welly wanging is, it is where you hold onto a welly, you're in a sports hall, and you try and throw it as far as you possibly can. Okay, now I had a technique, we did it before, and it was pretty good. And then I saw this chap that was about 6'5". He was very well built and he had a different technique and he was throwing it much further than me. So I thought, do you know what? I'll give that a go. And I used that technique and I threw it the entire length of the sports hall. Now, the person that was actually doing some of the comparing just happened to be the other end of the sports hall and they had to dive out of the way as the welly would have landed on top of their head. So health and safety at its best. Okay. Now, that got recorded and I uploaded that to Facebook. Facebook as a reel. Now, by the end of that weekend, it had had about 2,500 views, and we were very excited by the fact it had had 2,500 views. And then last Thursday morning, I had a message on Facebook saying, it's gone up to 25,000 views. I was like, wow, that's amazing. It's gone up to 25,000 views. An hour later, it had gone up to 50,000 views. And then I started thinking, wow, what's happening here? And apparently, it had made its way across to America. I was getting messages from America saying, what is welly wanging? And that's the terrible American accent I'm afraid I'm going to do for you. And then it started to go more and more. So I've done a million and one things in my life, but the thing I'm famous for in America now is being the welly wanger. And I've got to be very careful how I say that. It then got up and it kept going, and then it was like 100,000 views. And then on Sunday evening, it then got, I was teaching, and it then got to 500,000 views. I was like, this is amazing. By the end of Monday, it had got to 1 million views. And then Monday morning, I woke up and it had got to 1.3 million views of me welly wanging. So if you go onto my Facebook profile, Richard Beaufort, you can see in my reels 1.3 million views. Now, I also then posted a picture, a video, a reel of my wife doing the same and trying the same technique out. Unfortunately for her, it didn't quite go so well. She had thrown the wellies a few times and it had gone really well. She tried my technique and unfortunately held on to the welly too long and it kind of went sideways and into the crowd. I think her video's better, if I'm honest with you. It's had only 2,000 views so far, but I'd love to see if we can get that up to 1 million as well. So again, if you want to click on that and share it, that would be amazing. So yeah, Facebook Reels, who knew 1.3 million people would watch me being a welly wanger. So it's time for Not Many People Know That. I'm going to do that for a little bit. Okay, so Not Many People Know That. That's actually, well, a lot of people know that's from the Dirty Dancing film, which of course is the greatest film of all time. As a dance teacher, I have to say that, but I genuinely believe it as well. That's actually sung by Patrick Swayze. He also co-wrote that track. Now, I was just doing some research about it, and actually, it wasn't actually written for Dirty Dancing. It was written for about 2 years prior to it, and then they played it during the film, or he played it during recordings, and they went, yeah, that's a good song. We'll play it out for you. So there we go. Things you just didn't all know about. Okay, so yeah, Patrick Swayze sang, and it's the only ever song that he wrote and sang him, but there we go. I'm going to give you a little bit of feedback again about a previous guest. We've had Sorrel Pitts on earlier. She was lovely. She was on last year. Somebody had on very early on last year was a chap called Stuart Lee. So he was in the process of writing a book all about his addiction. So the book was called Me and My Addiction. It got released last May, had amazing views, immense amount of 5-star reviews. It's a fantastic book all about his addiction and his recovery as well. And on that show, Rosie, his girlfriend at the time, she also came in and they did the quick fire round together, and it was great fun and she was absolutely lovely. Now, he also proposed to her in July, and he had a very special way of proposing to her. So we were dancing at a competition and we got eventually fake that he got to the final. They did do very well actually, but they got to the final and then they got a special award in the final, and they had to come up onto the stage to receive their award. And as they were receiving their award, he pivoted round and he went down on one knee and said, Rosie, will you marry me? Now, that's a great story, isn't it? And the nice thing is they're getting married in a couple of months' time. So yeah, he's gone from being addicted, writing his book, met the lovely Rosie, proposed to her in a fantastic way, and now they're getting married. So yeah, it's lovely how stories can come true. There's Sophie Ellis-Bextor, Murder on the Dance Floor. Special guest time coming in at the last minute. Steve Fountain, good morning.
I'm happy to be referred to as a special guest, although somewhat surprised.
Somewhat surprised. I just wandered out. I thought I recognised that voice.
You must
in the
have
office.
Been short of guests this morning,
so,
having me on.
Sadly, Heidi couldn't make it today. So she's got a poorly
Children's
back.
Hospice Southwest?
Yes. So she was due to come in, and sadly, her back is not very well. She's off to the osteopath. And yes.
So you've been playing the hits.
So I've been. Well,
you've been DJing. And talking up to the vocals, I hear. So.
I did do one bit of that. I had the lovely Sorrel Pitts, who came in to do a live lounge last year. She's also released a book. So very thankfully, she came in via Zoom
good.
To do
all
that.
Right.
And I thought I'd chat to yourself very quickly
That's
about
okay.
kind of where Radio Bath is at, because we're here all the time. But as presenters, we come in and we see kind of the other presenters that are before and after. But sometimes we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So,
well, we're still here.
We're still here. So, yeah.
Which is always a good thing. The first quarter of the year, from a financial perspective, is always a bit challenging for us. I mean, we always pay the bills. I hate having anything outstanding. So we do all that. But a lot of our patron renewals come up from April.
Right.
And thankfully, we've had a few renewals. So that the invoices have gone out for those. So thank you to those people that have renewed. There's a couple that have got one or two issues of their own. And they postponed their renewals for a little while. We completely get that, you know. And we'll continue to work with those patrons anyway, those people that were patrons. Because, you know, the hope is that one day, not too soon, they'll come back on board again. People who buy partnerships, or we call them partnerships, but advertising, those things in the early part of the year, the sort of immediately between Christmas and New Year and the, you know, January, February, they tend to slack off a bit. That's forever been the case in any form of commercial radio. But this time of the year, about now, things start to pick up a little bit. We've got Easter, so that definitely helps. You know, we've just done a deal with yesterday confirmed with Hilliers, the garden centre, to go up there and do another live show. They're buying a partnership or some advertising. We refer to our advertisers as partners because they're much more than just, you know, advertisers. We don't just take their money, put the ad on, and then leave it. We go and talk to them and what else can we do and all that sort of stuff. So I'm going up there to do a show on a date to be agreed. We got a building business that's just signed up from Froome. That's that'll be on as a partner probably from about this time next week. We've got, after Easter, you got two bank holidays in May. That generally attracts a little bit of attention from people that want to, you know, share some things with the listener that they're going to be doing. So once we get through that January, February, call it March as well, period, then things start to breathe a little less tightly, shall we say.
And kind of what's your hope? So hopefully the financial part of Radio Bath will be okay.
Yes.
Kind of what's your hope regarding the broadcasting side of it? Where is that at the moment, and kind of where do you see it going?
I think we're in a good place. You know, we've got a healthy body of volunteers. There are always new people coming in. There are a few that go off, especially since we've settled down after COVID. I mean, we had a bit where people went back to work, and that's perfectly understandable. We've got a couple of people that might need to reduce their level of commitment from, you know, two or three shows a week down to one or two. And that's perfectly reasonable because they've got families and other stuff. But whilst we're always looking for new people to come on board, there's all sorts of things that people can get involved in, from the stuff we do off air, our outside broadcasts. You know, we were down at the Bath Half on both days actually, but the Sunday was the big day, obviously.
And how did that go?
It was brilliant. It was really good. It was easy for me because I was only telling people what was happening. I didn't have to run anywhere. The one thing I do recall from it, and it will live me for a long time, was how muddy it was.
Right.
I mean, it was liquid mud in places, so that was a challenge. We've got a lot coming up throughout the summer. We're doing the Walk of Life with the RUA checks. We're going to be on the whole of that from Devizes right the way through to the Holborn, which is on the 11th of May. I've been to see Dorothy House this morning. We're going to be doing the Midnight Walk, which is essentially a ladies' event, but men can be a part of it as well. That's on the 15th of June. There's a lot of other stuff coming on, you know, stuff that we've done over a period of the last couple of years that we're being invited back to do again. So we've got a busy period, and I'm not going to be around for some of it because I'm having surgery in June, so I need to take probably half of June, all of July, and maybe even a bit of August off for recovery. So,
and how are you feeling about having some time off then?
There's a lot to do before I go. There's a lot of training with some people to do just to make sure that actually we stay on the air and there are people here all the time. That's the key thing. But it'll all get done, you know, and the people that step up. Well, you said to me, I mean, you're a great example. You know, you'd love to do more if you could.
Yeah.
But you have a day job.
I do.
And that's a very consuming thing. So we're quite lucky having people around like Tom and James or Brady and Mills and one or two others, Gerald. Although Gerald was very busy with his day job at Tesco, but there was one or two others that do have a bit more flexibility and movement with their time. So one or two people have stepped up, and we're very grateful for that.
Yes, I often see in the WhatsApp group, you know, can anybody step in for that? And I'm like, I'd love to, but, and that's always in my head.
But we're quite relaxed about it. Yeah. But these days I always say, can anybody step up and do this? You do not need to tell me if you can't.
No. No, it's a bit like in the WhatsApp groups when it's somebody's birthday.
Oh, my goodness me. I know. Yeah,
and yeah, so if ever it's my birthday or if ever there's something else I'm doing. People tend to know these days. That's the downside.
Birthdays and milk.
But I was put on there. It's my birthday. I'm assuming you're all going to wish me happy birthday. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
And just leave it at that point, because otherwise everybody feels a obliged to do it.
I think broadly we're not in a bad place. Our landlords, Wessex Water, have kindly allowed us to begin thinking about what we want to do upstairs in this building on the Lower Bristol Road, and it's all going to be to do with training, in terms of not just broadcast training, but there's a lot about what we do on a day-to-day basis that just helps build people's confidence. So there's a lot that we're going to be doing up there, and that should kick off probably about the time I come back, I would have thought. Okay. So.
No, that's amazing. And, you know, Radio Bath, I've said it many times, I feel very privileged to be here, and we love being
it's
here.
Fun,
and
isn't it?
It's an amazing thing. You know, every Thursday morning I wake up, I'm on the radio this morning, and it's a great thing to do. And it's
a privilege.
It is a privilege.
That's the thing, Richard. I mean, you do a great job, but it's a privilege, no matter how skilled you are or how long you've been doing it, you know, whether it's somebody like me or somebody that's just joined us. It's a privilege to do what you do, because somebody somewhere has to physically make a choice to listen to you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And
that's a privilege.
And it's very fortunate that apparently I have at least three listeners. So that's always good. It's always the question that's asked, isn't it? So I get a lot of guests coming in every week. And I'm very fortunate that people come in, and I've got guests booked for the next couple of months. And they always say to me, you know, how many people listen? And I go, I've no idea.
No, neither have I. We know how many hours we have listening online a month. And that's roughly, it sort of fluctuates a little bit, but it's somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 hours a month of listening online. But in terms of the amount of people that are listening via radio and the traditional means, we don't know. We can find out, but it costs us about £10,000 or £12,000 a year. And frankly, I'd rather put that money into a good cause somewhere within Bath, North East Somerset and Wiltshire. Because it's not that important. If I was running a completely, fully commercial radio station, that would be an absolutely critical thing to answer.
Yeah.
And there may be means in which we can find out later on, but right now we don't know, and I don't want to spend that money. We can do other stuff with that money.
No, as you say, there's better things to spend the money isn't there? Yeah. And are you up this afternoon? You on air this afternoon?
Yeah, I'm on this afternoon from 2, while Uncle Bob continues his project management of the work that he's got to do at his house. Which is ongoing. And we've got 3SG coming in, which is a sort of umbrella organisation that looks after about 200 charities in the area. And we've got Sharon Sexton coming in at 3:30 to talk about a show she's doing with Brady and Mills. So.
Brilliant. Well, we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of hours, Steve. Thank you very much. Yeah.